Praise God. We're going to start singing tonight with number 237, Oh, Let Us Sing. Praise God. You may be seated. Just want to thank God for this chance just to come together and worship Him together as a group. Just thank Him for another Wednesday here in the house of God. Let's sing number 183, Jesus, I Just Want to Thank You. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Praise you, Jesus.
I too just want to thank God so much for being here tonight and singing praises into Him. And I'm just so thankful for my life in Him. And I want to thank Him so much for the Northern Lights display that He painted in the sky a couple nights ago. It was just fantastic, amazing, and beautiful. Just went on. And I thank Him for, I really thought He was coming back that night. I thought, I went outside and I saw like what looked like exactly like this giant angel over our house. And I want to thank Him for those promises that the angels are watching over us all the time. I love Him. I thank Him for His Holy Spirit. And I just want to praise Him tonight.
Just want to stand tonight and thank God for being here and thank Him for all that He does for us. And just want to thank Him for the words of that song, the way that God is so good to us. And He's always with us no matter what's going on, always providing for us. And it almost scares me to watch the news anymore. I just have a hard time doing that. Just all the stuff that's going on around the world, all the wars and everything. I know it's supposed to happen, but it's kind of scary sometimes. And just want to thank God for always taking care of us and being with us. Just want to thank Him for being so good to us and tell that I love Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing number 229, No One Can Separate Us.
No one can separate us from the love of God. Not things that are, nor things to come, nor principles.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I just want to add my just amazement, like Jocelyn said, with the Northern Lights being out on the other night. That was amazing. I think it's the first time I've ever seen the colors. You know, I've only seen the ones that are like that light green color. And I maybe secretly kind of didn't believe that they actually turned colors. I thought maybe people had just doctored the photos or something. So that was my first time seeing that, and it was so amazing. And just thank him how those things can really just kind of spontaneously unite the community. You know, it's like everybody's talking about that and how cool that was. And it's just another chance for us to just dwell on something that God has made and the way that it just pulls everyone together. So I just thank him for that. It was such a cool experience. Next, we'll sing 211, Let My Eyes Gaze Upon You. Sorry, John. I missed it. Is that kind of low or something? Should we just... Okay. Let my eyes gaze upon you through the glory of your Spirit. My mind be brought into your presence. Bid me come unto your throne and then sweep me up into your beauty. And then, Lord, please show me to have more of thee and less of me. Let my eyes gaze upon you through the glory of your Spirit. My mind be brought into your presence. Bid me come. Show me how to have more of thee and less of me. Let my eyes gaze upon you through the glory of your Spirit. My mind be brought into your presence. Bid me come. Sweep me up into your beauty. And then, Lord, please show me how to have more of thee and less of thee. Let my eyes gaze upon you through the glory of your Spirit. My mind be brought into your presence. Bid me come unto your throne and then sweep me up into your beauty. And then, Lord, please show me how to have more of thee and less of me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God.
I want to tell God tonight how much I love him, and I was just thinking of what a privilege it is to come here and worship God. And in many countries that's not allowed, and we've always been able to do that all the years I've been here, and I just am so thankful for that. I love coming, and in the middle of all this, it was a wonderful feeling in here tonight, and I just love him so much.
Praise God. I'm gonna throw Randy for a little loop here. I had a song I was thinking of playing, and as Jocelyn was testifying, thought about a song I think that Amy sang. It was talking about how God lights up the world so that we can see his glory. Amy and Gracie maybe sung it a billion years ago, but I can't sing that song, I don't know it. But it made me think of another song that I have. The song is Countless Wonders, and it's that same idea, though, of like, when you look around at the world that he's created for us, it's just for his pleasure and for our pleasure, and so that we can look and see and know God. So I ask you to worship with me. If you've watched those Northern Lights on Monday or Sunday, whenever that was, imagine those as you're listening to. You reign in endless power above the world you made. Across the sky is written your majesty and praise. And still you move in mercy and hear the humble heart. For every soul that's searching, Jesus, there you are. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, how we'll lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. The mysteries of heaven and all your works display, every star, every ocean, the universe proclaims. For every sun that rises, your faithfulness to me. Like the changing of the seasons, like the river to the sea. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. No one can fathom all your mighty works, oh God. Just one glimpse of you and I am overcome. You open up your hand and pour out once again your everlasting love. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky, your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. I lift my eyes, lift my eyes. I will lift my eyes. Lift my eyes.
Set me afire, make me a flame.
shine out for Jesus' sake. It's my desire. Set me afire. Make me a flame. Oh, Lord, set me afire and make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you pay the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning. Set me a burning. Let me shine out for Jesus' sake. It's my desire. Set me afire. Make me a flame. Oh, Lord, set me afire. Make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning. Set me a burning. Let me shine out. For Jesus' sake, it's my desire. Set me afire, make me a flame. Jesus, praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord, praise you, Jesus. Love you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You may be seated. I guess I'm just going to have you stand right back up for 173. I've been redeemed. Seated.
Hi. I wanted to wait to next week to say something, but I couldn't wait. So, next Wednesday will be my first year of having the Holy Ghost. It's my spiritual birthday. And I wanted to wait because it like falls perfectly on a Wednesday, and I was like, oh, I can get up on my spiritual birthday and say something. But I got in the car today and I started playing Jesus music, and I was just like, oh man, I can't wait to say something. But I just want to thank God, because this week last year was torture. Like, the last week that I didn't have the Holy Ghost was just like awful. And And then when I did get it, I like immediately went in my house and I wrote it all down. I have like 2 pages of what happened. And I was like, I want to write it down so I'll never forget. And I've never forgotten. I didn't need to write it down because I can go right back to that point, and like it's like I'm living it all over again. And I just want to thank God for saving me and making me new, and just he's just changed my heart so much in my life, and I'm just so thankful.
Praise God. I love that. You couldn't wait till next week. Contest, you could do it again next week if you let's just sing one last song, 115, I love him for he is mine. Him. If you'll stand, we'll have the word of God.
You may be seated. Welcome, everyone, to our Acts Bible study here at the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. Just so you know, there's new questions for the next chapter out on the podium in the entry. Please take one tonight and be prepared for next week. I want to praise Jesus for his precious mercy and his grace. I really enjoyed the message that Lynn brought to us about worship on Sunday. We really need to praise him for the opportunity every time we can gather to lift his name in praise and to worship him. I was thinking about how worship begins. It begins in my heart. It begins in my mind. It begins in my soul. And he gives us our voice in our hands to raise and to praise him, to express how we feel about him in worship and in praise. Isn't that truly a blessing to know our God, to know he comes and he dwells with us when we gather together, when we lift our hands in praise and worship, that he's here for us? I just want to thank him for that tonight. I also want to thank him for this precious place he gives us, not only to gather in worship and in praise, but to learn of his word, to gather here together in prayer. Friday nights are a very special time. Hopefully you can all make it at some point on Friday nights. When we're here together in that time of prayer or here in service, it's a precious thing not only to be able to worship God and to pray to God, but to hear the praise and the worship from my brothers and sisters and know that we are in that one mind, in that one accord. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for worship and praise. We are in Acts. We're finishing up the 15th chapter tonight, and we're going to read verses 36 through 41. So if you'll turn with me, if you haven't already, to Acts, the 15th chapter, verses 36 to 41. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So our questions here tonight are, a contention arose between these two fellow laborers in Christ, Paul and Barnabas. What can we learn about it? What can we learn from it? And how they dealt with it? And what good, if any, came from it? And then overall, what do we learn from this chapter about how disagreements can be handled among saints in the unity of faith? The floor is open. Someone like to start us tonight? Jocelyn, thank you.
Okay, so first I looked up the word contention, which is a heated disagreement, not yet decided, an issue, strife, a lack of agreement, or harmony. And then how do I handle disagreements with other saints? Take it to God, agree to disagree. And then in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I have a lot of scriptures. Maybe, should I stop here? Probably.
Well, if nobody else answers, we'll come back to you. We'll let you just add some more to it. Someone, Terry, did you have your hand up? No? Well, one thought I had with this, my first thought is we, as we saw with them, we must be one in Christ. Jesus is the head, correct? He's controlling us, right? So if we, each one of us, and they obviously were having a situation here, if each one of us have the mind of God, and we are full, packed down, and overflowing, allowing that Holy Spirit of God to guide us, then we'll be in that one accord with Jesus. So if there does come strife and contention among us, then we'll handle it in a way that's handled in the Spirit. So this has probably never happened to any one of you, right? Never? Didn't happen to you? I'm sure it has happened. Obviously, it happens in the world a lot because they don't have the Spirit of God. But even in God, we can have disagreements, right? Amen? We can have disagreements. But when you have those problems, who do we go to? If I have a problem with John, do I take it to Terry and tell him about this problem I have with John? No. Who do I take it to? First of all, I'll take it to God, and then go to John. It's important that we work these things out. Another thought I had, Claudette, please, thank you. So much we can gain, and I think we have gained in this chapter about how to deal with disagreements.
Well, there's so much in this question that I'm just going to hit on a couple of points, but
thank you.
First of all, you've got to want to come to some kind of a conclusion with the other person instead of one being mad or both of you being mad, and you know that's where the long suffering comes in. You know, but also, I think it's so interesting. As this turned out later in the Bible, where Paul actually did depend on Mark. And so sometimes, we jump to conclusions about people based on what's happening and don't necessarily always have that patience with them that ultimately we all don't get to the same place at the same time always. And, as a group of people, we've all come in here different and we all are learning things, that we need to learn mm-hmm. differently. And so having that long suffering with one another and patience, would really be the key to the unity and wanting to have a solution to a disagreement, whether it's just to, agree to disagree. And in this case, I love it because they separated off, and it was actually more profitable for God because they were able to cover more ground when there was two sets of them out,
yes.
talking to the churches. So there's so much in this question. I'm sure we could go on, for a long time because, it is the things that we all struggle with.
Thank you, Claudette. Thank you, Liz.
I just kind of going on what Claudette was saying, too. I love that Luke put this disagreement in after this, what we've just studied in the 15th chapter, because the disagreement above is one that dealt with doctrine and the way the church was to be run, and they worked through that. But this one here is definitely one of personality and opinions mm-hmm. about the work of God. And it is, learning to agree to disagree and being patient with each other. But the bottom line with any of those type of disagreements is there must be a mutual respect for one another and their position in God, and always that underlying love that's going to guide them through this disputation.
Thank you, Liz. Mike? And
it's so interesting that when I think about the question at hand, and everyone was right on point with what they were talking about, but in the body of Christ, you see so many divisions in the churches, and a lot of it has to do with pride. And so when I looked up the word empathetic, and I even take a class on it, and there's not enough empathy in the body. And when I went to Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And I think what happens is we make it a personal thing that I have to be right. And God had been teaching me a while back that it's not about who's right, but always about doing what's right. So mm-hmm. sometimes you have to take a step back, even when you know you are right, just to do what God wants you to do. And when you do what God wants you to do, eventually things turn out the way it's supposed to anyway.
Yes. Janie, right?
So I just had one verse that I don't know if it's super applicable, but it seems a little bit applicable. And the first part maybe not, but it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And I just really like that part where it says we are members of one another. And then it goes on to say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil. And I think when, as believers, we should love the people, we should love our other believers enough that when we do argue, we can be angry, but we shouldn't sin against them. But also, when we argue, we're not trying to hurt them. We're trying to get to a common ground in God, and we're not trying to lash out and injure them in particular.
Thank you, Jamie. Someone else? Rick, thank you.
Couple scriptures that I, several scriptures that I went to just for reference, but I also a thought that was in there. They both went about the work of God, and God was able to use it. So they didn't just dig in their heels and quit. You know, they didn't. So, but anyway, I looked at different, you know, scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6. It talks about that there's a, you know, having a fault with the brethren defrauding one another and going to law with one another, but rather we should be of one spirit. We are bought with a price, so we should have that one spirit, the unity. I also looked at humility. 1 Peter 5 talks about being clothed with humility, and God resists the proud. That and preferring a brother, in honor preferring one another. And submission and subject to God's Spirit. That's another one in Romans 12. So that's, I'm just looking at my notes. Also Romans 14, 1 through 4. I can't read my, if it's a later scripture, maybe verse 19. Follow after the things which make for peace, that we might edify one another. So we're all growing and changing. We have different, I think like Liz said, we have different thoughts and ideas, but what does that matter sometimes? You know, we just follow, learn and grow and move forward, and but preferring and loving one another.
Amen. We are one body. We are one family. We have to care and love for one another. Anything else? Sherry, up here, thank you.
Well, I was thinking about Paul, and he was a very educated man. He also was part of the other side who were killing the Christians, and then he was converted, and I think that he was very strict, that would be the word, in following after what God wanted. And I don't know about Mark, but I have a feeling that he might have been young and didn't do everything the way Paul thought he should. And so he didn't want to take him with him because of it. And I think that Mark grew in God by going with Barnabas, and then it changed at that point. So that's just some of that's just my opinion, but it just makes sense to me.
Amen. We've all failed God, haven't we, in our walk? We've all stumbled. We've all fallen, we've all made mistakes, but yet we're still here, right? We get past it, we grow with it, we overcome it, we allow God to do what he's trying to do within us, because it's about us individually, what we can control to change. I don't need to change you. I need to let God change you. I need to change myself. And when I see a fault in myself or I've failed God in some way, it is me that I look to, and then I look to the Word. And how can I change that? How can I better be a part of the family of God and not look at your faults? It's not even my place. God knows us. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to guide us. We've got his Word and his Spirit to direct us. Anyone else? Okay, so just a couple of thoughts about Paul and Barnabas. I was thinking about the fact how far they've come together, because wasn't it Barnabas that introduced him and stood by his side when he went to Jerusalem initially? Stood up for him? This is a man who, I know he was killing us, But he changed his ways. God called him. He has that calling from God, and he's now one of us. He stood with him in that. They sent them to Antioch, where they taught for, what was it, a year or two? They taught together, and from there, they were called to go out together and do that missionary journey. They did that together. They went out boldly speaking the gospel to the Gentiles and Jews alike. They were working side by side, doing the work of God, establishing churches, and teaching the people where they had established these churches. And so now at this juncture, after all this time, all that they have accomplished together through Jesus Christ, now not only do they have a disagreement, but they are neither one yielding or able to come to an agreement, and they part ways. These men, Paul and Barnabas, they're not just newborn. They're not young, are they? They're well established in all their gifts, their callings, their works. They've allowed God's Spirit to work through them. Yet as men, got to remember, they make mistakes. We see it with all the different apostles and the disciples. They make mistakes, but they are men. They are people. They do make mistakes. Yet they as men allowed this contention to split them apart from one another in their continuing that work for God together. So how can we look at this for ourselves? What I was thinking was, so we must take note of this. We must be vigilant. We must be watchful. I think Rick read a scripture, got to beware of Satan because he's there to beguile us. He's there to trip us up, try and cause strife and division amongst us. No matter how long we've been in God, if we let our guard down for one moment and Satan sees an opening to try and get you to find fault with someone else, he will. And is that what we want? That's not what we want, is it? We want unity. We want one accord. We see what happens earlier in this chapter when there was problems. Like Liz said, there was problems. They got together. They prayed and they sought God's mind. And together they came up with a solution. And we know this contention was caused because of the of him wanting Barnabas wanting to take Mark with him. Paul's calling into question whether Mark would be reliable and trustworthy and wouldn't leave them again. If we fail to be trustworthy, or somebody fails us, they break that trust. Isn't it hard to trust them again? Have you ever had this happen? Think about this. Have you ever had this happen? You're counting on somebody and they fail you. Well, you're probably not going to, if you need help with something or they just don't show up, they don't call, you're probably not going to call them next time if you need help, are you? It's hard. So we want to be faithful. Well, we want to be trustworthy to God and to what he's called us to do and to one another. If something comes up that you cannot be where you're supposed to be or do what you're supposed to do, we're brothers and sisters in God, are we not? We're going to understand that other things can happen. But it's better to be trustworthy, faithful. Communication. Communication is the most important thing, in my opinion, when it comes to unity in the body of Christ. Because if we don't communicate, there can be problems that come up. Barnabas, of course, felt very strongly that Mark would be faithful and not depart from them. And he proved himself, didn't he? He went with Barnabas and he stuck to it. And we see in other scriptures where Paul recognized that Mark was helpful in the ministry. So for better or worse, they parted their ways. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride comes contention. More often than not, I think somebody even mentioned it, pride, you're not willing to give. You're not willing to be the one to prefer the other. And if you got two people and neither one will prefer, you're going to have division. That's not what we want. But with the well-advised is wisdom. And is that not what we seek, the wisdom of God in every situation? Proverbs, I want to read this. I know Jocelyn gave us this one. Let's turn to it since we're here in Proverbs. 15:1, correct, Jocelyn? Since we're right here, let's read it. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer. Several of you said this, you can agree to disagree, especially if it's not a point specific to the righteousness and the holiness of God. Proverbs 17:14. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. I think we recognize, especially if we're in the Spirit, when there's beginning to be a problem, a disagreement. And when that happens, if there be a way to resolve differences among ourselves, it is better to do it quickly, is it not? Don't let words go between you that you later wish you had not said. If you need to, step away from it. Don't get in a debate. Go your separate ways. Think about it. Pray about it. Go to the Word of God. Come back together when you're both in that one accord, and you will be able to work it out. Because we want to stand fast in the love one for another. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We need to grow in is that love one for another. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're just going to read verse 10. It's just one scripture, but it says a whole lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. By our love, we serve one another. If we don't, if we start this debate or this argument and we don't stop it and we let it fester, what happens to a wound? A wound when it starts to fester? It gets infected, doesn't it? And then what happens if you don't take care of it? If you don't treat it very quickly, maybe Mark would like to tell us what happens to a wound. Would you like to tell us what happens to a wound if you don't take care of it?
It gets awfully red and swollen and nasty and uncomfortable and draining pus, and you can just go on. It's just a bad day.
And if it starts, say you got a wound in your arm, if you don't take care of it,
it can spread to other places in your body.
It will. That's my point. It can spread. Two people in this body can have a disagreement. And like I was saying earlier, if two of us have a disagreement, and then we have tried to go to other parts of the body and start involving them in this argument, in this disagreement, Before you know it, the entire body is infected. We're all affected. And what happens? I mean, you can have loss of limbs, which means we could lose members of this body if it's not taken care of. It's happened. People have left. They've had disagreements and arguments, and they weren't taken care of, and they weren't settled, and they're no longer here. If we as a body don't do anything, this body will die, because that's not God's love. God's love, Claudette mentioned it, long-suffering. Patience is a word that I think of. Learn to be at peace with one another. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to skip around and just read a few scriptures in Romans chapter 12. We're going to start by reading verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Janie mentioned this. We do not want to harm another saint in God. We want to be careful. We want to be thoughtful. And we want to think about our words. Agree to disagree if that's what it takes. But don't let it dwell in you. Don't let it take hold in you. Don't let it take root in you. Because then it will start eating away at you. And the next thing you know, you've got bitterness in your heart. You've got anger. You've got hatred. You've got discord. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. It's so important that we realize we're all the family of God. That every single individual within this body of Christ should be as important to you as the ones you know best. The ones you don't know real well, find time. Game night's coming up. There's opportunities, workshops, work parties, that you can get to know one another. The better we know one another, the better we will understand one another, maybe know better what our needs may be, what our trials may be. But we have to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and in honor preferring one another. Obviously, they both Barnabas and Paul had, they just stood their ground. Neither one was willing to give. I know God worked it out to their good. I mean, they went two different directions. But I wonder, I really don't believe that was the perfect will of God for these men. I wonder, because they're traveling place to place and they're dealing with a lot of new young souls, can you imagine how much ground, more ground as far as serving the needs of the people that they could have covered if all four would have traveled together, you know, and deal with different individuals? It's hard for one person or two people to deal with several hundred people that have questions all at the same time. You can do it in a group, but sometimes you need private counseling. There's no telling, you know, how much better it might have been if they would have all traveled together. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Your conceits, don't get caught up in your own ideas, your own notion of how you think things should be done. Step back and look. You may think this is the way something should be done, but our first thoughts aren't always God's thoughts. We need to seek the mind of Christ. We saw it earlier in that book of Acts, in this chapter, where there was a question raised about circumcision. And the Apostle Paul did not off the cuff just give an answer, did he? He sought God. It's so important that we always seek God for our answers. Anybody have anything to add at this point? Terry? Thank you. We'll be turning to Philippians chapter 2 next.
Well, to kind of put it in a nutshell, if you can't love your brother who you do see, how can you possibly love God whom you've never seen? And also, what was the word they used? Strict. Paul was strict. Yes, he was, but later on he writes, I, Paul, the aged. So he mellowed out a bit, and then later on he said, and send Mark unto me, who is now profitable. Mm-hmm. So he did concede that maybe he had grown, so he really did trust him, love him, and did need him.
Amen. I think we can all relate to that, can't we? Have served God for any period of time. There's just so many things that we just felt like we had to do, like put ourselves in a cocoon and not even go out into the, even be, not be part of the world, but go out into the world to try and just try to separate ourselves completely. We can't win people that way. We have to go out. We have to be willing to do the work that God has called us to do. We're in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Be like-minded. What is that mind? The mind of Jesus. Having the same love. What is that love? The love that Jesus puts in us through his Holy Spirit. Being of one accord and of one mind, that mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Husband and wife, two separate individuals. They come together, they become one. What does God tell them to do? Care for one another as if they're your own body. In a marriage, if you can do that in a marriage, your marriage will be strong, it will be steadfast, it will grow in love for one another. Walking side by side, following after Jesus, not one over another, but in the Spirit. Sure, it tells us the husband's head of the household. But in the Spirit of God, when you both have the Spirit of God, you are one. You are one and the same. You have that same Spirit, the same power. God may have different callings for you, but you work together as one. The marriages that last are united in one mind and one accord with Jesus first. If we do this in the body of Christ, we know marriages have struggles and trials. It takes work and it takes effort to create that relationship. We have to do the exact same thing as the family of God, as the body of Christ. We must learn to love one another, prefer one another, look for the qualities that God sees within them. Look, when you're praying for others, ask God, ask Jesus that you he gives you the eyes that he has to see one another the way he sees you. And if there's an issue that you recognize, more often than not, it's being dealt with over the pulpit. If they're getting ready to step out in front of a truck, definitely pull them away from the truck. But pray. The very first thing you want to do is pray for them. Lift them up before God. Be there for them if they need you. Comfort them when you can. share the word of God. I write a lot of poetry, and I try to share it. There are times God gives me specific person or persons that I share it with, because sometimes I know what's going on in their life, sometimes I don't. But there's so many ways that we can uplift one another in prayer and sharing of the word, by love, serving one another. And we're going to turn to verses 13 through 16 in this same chapter. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. The world watches us, especially if they know who we are. They know that we say we follow Christ. So they're watching us. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we want to be doing the work. We don't want to murmur and have and arguments. We want to be blameless, harmless as the sons of God, without rebuke. We want to be shining lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. Let God's word, I know we've said this a lot, God's word in you, God's spirit in you, may be all that someone might see of God's word. Anything else someone wants to add at this time? No? I'm going to close this here shortly. I just got one more scripture. We see that Paul loved this body of believers. He loved the churches that he had established. He had that great love and that burden for them. And we see here they're getting ready to go out, because he wanted to go make sure they were rooted and grounded in love. He wanted to be able to actually see how they were doing in their life. You can only do so much with a letter. They didn't have telephones and texts and all that other stuff. He really wanted to be able to be there for them, to help them to grow in God. And we too want to be laborers. There's a scripture in Matthew that says, then saith he, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's so important in these end days that, like Paul here, went out boldly, he was daring, threw caution to the wind, share the word of God, the gospel of Christ. He was not afraid of man, but he really wanted to share this precious word of God with any and all that would hear. Last scripture we're going to turn to is in Ephesians. We'll read 1 through 6 and then 11 through 16, and this will be our close tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1 through 6. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think verses 2 and 3 put this in a nutshell for us tonight. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's go to verse 2. With all lowliness of mind, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then finally, verses 11 through 16. We had this question last week. What is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why does he do that? Why do we need leaders? Why do we need pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles? Why do we need all these ones? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith. We can't have unity if we have division. We can't have unity if we have contention. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our ultimate goal, to be like Jesus Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We saw these men in this chapter who came and tried to do this, tried to put weights and burdens upon the Gentiles that God did not want to do. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. What does that do? When we're in unity, when we're in one mind and one accord, when there is no divisions, no strifes, it makes increase of the body, that is us, unto the edifying of itself. How? By our love one for another. By our love one for another. So let us love one another. If we have a problem, let's deal with it quickly. Let's deal with it spiritually so that Satan can't get a toehold in there and cause a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Thank you for your time and your attention. Musicians want to come up? Thank you.
Praise God, this altar is open for you. Just ask you to come up tonight and receive all that God has for you. To lift up your brothers and sisters in prayer and to ask God to give you what you need so that you can be that light in this dark world. This altar is open for you. Won't you come? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love.
beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another.